ओम अज्ञातिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांदिगं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीजितापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सागणा रघुनाथं तं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सागणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्तांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेषु गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामे। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय
हरे कृष्ण। So welcome all of you. Thank you very much for coming on water for this Saturday for a special program. We have a special guest is always Devi S.P. Swami Maharaj. So Devi S.P. Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
So first of all, apologies for the delay because we have some logistics arrangement. By the time we make arrangement from out of the temple, the morning class also went a bit late. So a lot of questions, answers. There's not really with sannyasis in Melbourne too. So there was a slight delay. Apologies. So just a brief introduction about Isolus Devi Swami Maharaj. Maharaj is a disciple of his Devangrace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he's basically from the Gujarat province in India. And then in his young age with his family, Maharaj's family moved to the East Africa. And then eventually they moved to the America, U.S. And within few weeks, Maharaj came in contact with the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and got motivated and took up this process of Krishna consciousness. So he was initiated in 1977, and then since then Maharaj has been traveling and preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness all around the world. He covers the province of US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Burma, and also the Gulf countries and all over India. He's based in Vrindavan, and we are very fortunate to have in Ballara, and very happy to hear
Ballara.
The essence in Ballara now. Maharaj is going to speak on essence of Bhagavad Gita for all of our benefit. So please welcome Maharaj. So let's very express Maharaj ki
jai.
You are not able to see this, so can you please come near?
There are a lot of space because this presentation is more connected.
Mataji can come from side of Mataji, there is plenty of space. Don't go there. You will see.
There's plenty of room.
That is plenty. They can take chairs if they want at the back. If mother is a problem.
Come forward.
You can also come. Your mother is in the back.
They can see from there.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So, everybody is familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, but on the basis of recitation. And many may not have fortunate or the opportunity to become fortunate to understand the meanings of this. Because if we are traditionally inclined to do a part or just a recital, it carries a different result. But Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita itself, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasana yuktena. Paramam purusham chintayet avyaya. We can think on Krishna on the foundation of study, not recitations. Recitation itself is a piety, an activity in pious. But when we understand the transcendental aspect of Bhagavad Gita, the piety will remain in the material platform only. It will never promote us to become liberated, because it requires transcendental understanding. So therefore we must study Bhagavad Gita rather than put the patha. In the same way in Ramayana, people are inclined to do patha but not study. So there will be a great difference. In ISKCON we study the scriptures because they are meant for study, so we may not be taken for granted. We may be allowed to enter into the realm of spirituality where we can interact with God Himself, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. So we have right to interact, but not whimsically. First we have to be in our constitutional natural position of being part and parcel, not with this body. The body is not what Krishna claims. Krishna claims our soul. So we must study how to distinguish all this me, mine that we create versus he and his. What is more important is to study is our relationship with him. Right? Now there are five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. In the entire Bhagavad Gita, these are the five topics that you have to learn. They have been told in continuity to dispel the doubt of Arjuna and to put him on the right platform of understanding. Alright? These five topics are God means Ishvara. What is his definition? Who is he? Is he personal, impersonal? Who is Jiva, the soul, that is us? What is material nature or Prakriti? What is time? And what is karma? Right? The Jiva is completely dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. But we forget that too, because of the influence of kala and material nature. These two factors are influencing us, and we forget our situation. We end up into the activity which is binding us perpetually in the shackles. That's called karma bandhan. Nobody is free. So how is it we can ever establish the relationship between the Lord and us? So therefore, all these five subject matters have to be studied in their full context. The way Krishna describes them and makes us understand, we have to understand that way. We can't interpret. This is the composition of our body, according to Bhagavad Gita. And it is made up of the earth, water, fire, air, ether. there is subtle mind, intelligence and ego. Bhumirapanolo vayukham mano buddhi revacha ahankaram itiya me bhinna prakritiyastata. These eightfold energies that constitute our body, gross as well as subtle body. Subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence and ego. The gross is earth, water, fire, air, ether. But besides this inferior energy of mind, aparemitastvanyam prakriti vidhi me param, there is a superior energy of mind. It's called jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharya vejana. That is called jiva. Jiva is my superior energy. Inferior and superior. Man wants to lord over the inferior energy. That's why he has come here. Right? We want to acquire. We want to possess it. Are we possessed by the material nature or we want to possess material nature? We want to exploit the resources of material nature. Not that, okay, we belong to material nature. Then why would we use the material assets to build a beautiful house and make a comfortable living? Because we think we have the honor. We act in the ownership. Okay, let's understand the nature of the soul. The soul can be experienced or perceived by the presence of consciousness. Are we all conscious or somebody is unconscious here? No, you. You are unconscious. No, you are conscious. Okay. As soon as I addressed him, he withdrew himself. He showed his consciousness. Right? Everybody is conscious. So consciousness is a symptom of life. Life is the one that lives forever. Do you think the body is living forever? No. Because the body is made up of dead materials. How can it live forever? But the soul itself is living forever. Why? Because he is part and parcel of Krishna or somebody else. Are you part and parcel of your daddy?
Confused.
Eh? Are you part and parcel of your daddy?
No.
Watch out, Prabhu. But he is telling the truth. The daddy is your caretaker. Alright? He will train you up so you won't disobey him. A part and parcel doesn't mean he is independent right from childhood. Are you making mischief? I will call your mother. He's very mischievous, right? I came to your place and you were not there. And I found out you are more mischievous than your older brother. Yes, you. You are a cool guy. Aren't you cool? So, the presence of hyperactivity is also and denoted to much more consciousness. He is wanting to move around with it. Many spiritual traditions of the world accept consciousness as being the symptom of the soul. If you want to recognize soul, recognize first of all your consciousness. Alright? Consciousness comes not from the laboratory, but comes from Krishna. Life comes from life. Krishna claims that the soul is my part and parcel. And therefore he is called Super Soul. At the time of death, all physical and chemical components of the body remain in place, but something non-physical has been lost. You go away, body remains there, isn't it? Where will you go to play somewhere? Leaving your body. Or you can play only with your body. The soul also knows how to play. That's why he wants to play even in the body. Body is a medium, but he is the real player. Body is not the real player. Even though our language, we identify ourselves being different from the body. We think body as our property, not body as a proprietor. Who is the proprietor in this body, Devesh? You or your body? Who is the proprietor?
Me.
Me means? Soul. Soul is the proprietor. And the body is property. Can a property ever become proprietor? But we think it belongs to the body. We identify mistakenly with our body. So much so that we keep on committing mistakes. Actually, the body is the property. How can a property be proprietor? That is the point. Body is compared to a vehicle. And soul is a driver. Right? You are driving your head right now like this. You are the driver. You are not doing automatically. Next. The soul can be experienced. Okay, here we go. People have registered out-of-body experiences. The body remains the same, maybe undergoing through a subconscious experience. But he comes out of body and watches what is happening to his body. And we can see throughout our life the changes in the body. Even we are the observer, yet we forget that we have gone through this. But we have to be reminded that what we forget. As the embodied soul continually passes in the body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Who is a sober person? Are you a sober person now? No, because you are thinking something else. The baby is not sober. She is crying because she can't hear much of much interest and understanding. She wants food. Right? But all those who are listening carefully means they are sober person. They pay attention. Because they need to achieve something higher, understanding. By understanding the ambrosial words of Lord Krishna. They are very powerful to make us understanding. And we agree. If somebody disagrees, you can raise your question in the form of a question. Alright? No problem. So, you can see the changes of the body. Similarly, tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra na muhyati. We keep on changing the bodies, even within the same species and within other species. For example, in human form of life, our bodies are changing from boyhood to youth to adult and producing byproduct, dwindle and disappear. 6 changes are there in the human body. But at the same time, the changes in the body in other species of life is also there. But at the same time, transmigration from one species to another species is also there. That depends upon our activity or karma. It paves the way where our consciousness carries us at the time of death. Suppose in a human form of life, I have done wretched work like a dog, and at the time of death, my mentality or consciousness is locked up in doggish activity. Do you think my consciousness will bring me to another human life or dog's life?
Dog's life.
That is the way it is to be understood. The consciousness is a carrier from one species to another species. So if we are experiencing transmigration of the soul in the same species of life, we in the same way change the bodies. We see the change in the body, but not in the soul. The personality in the baby remains the same even though it becomes old. Ask your mother. Mother will tell, yeah, you are the same person, but your body has changed into so many things. I heard many of you are doctors here. And every 7 years, all our cells of the bodies die and replaced by new ones. So, if I live for 100 years, then 14 times I would have changed my bodies. From once, but the change is so subtle, I'm not experiencing that. I'm remaining the same person. But we have to recognize the change that is happening. Alright. So the difference between the soul and super soul will be also be considered. The jivatmas mean humans and animals and everybody. But God is called Paramatma because He is accompanying within this body, not only in this body, He is present equally distributed in all the particles and non-particles. And in Shastra they say, Anoraniya Mahato Mahiya. He is the smaller than smallest and bigger than the biggest, simultaneously. And He is Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. He is situated within atom, at the same time between the two atoms also. There is no space without His existence. The scientists are trying to find this Higgs boson responsible for supporting and creating this material particle. You may be, those who are of science background must be knowing all these things. But they have been very frustrated trying to pinpoint the God particle. And that is anti-material in nature. Jivatma or the soul is infinitesimal, anu, very particular. But super soul or Paramatma is called infinite, is vibhu. You can't measure. You can't estimate your size. But our size has been estimated through shastras. On your own you cannot. And you can't measure the vibhu's size. There is another difference, that we are conscious of our own existence. I can recognize others' existence because they are also conscious. But I do not know what is going in their body. I hardly know what is going inside my body. Partly I know. If my stomach aches, then it must be something, you know, indigestion, hyperacidity, ulcer, whatever it is. But Paramatma knows what's going on in everyone's body, because he is situated all pervasive. A loving servitor is the constitutional position of the Jivatma, but he is eternally a loving master. We talk of love afterwards, not in the beginning. So, the soul by consciousness, it is one with in quality with the Lord, but different in quantity. The difference between insignificant and magnanimous, infinitesimal and minuscule, like that. These are the differences between the Jiva and the Supreme. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. What is the definition of God is being taught here in Bhagavad Gita? Cause of all causes and the source of everything that exists is the originator of all. God does not depend upon our belief system. He is there and He proves Himself. And He is only a singular personality, not based on our belief system. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Lord describes Himself and describes the relationship with other personalities we call devatas, as well as describes the Jiva and his relationship with everyone. He is the supreme controller, supreme proprietor and supreme enjoyer. Why enjoyment is the only factor that everybody has to consider? Because qualitatively we also want to enjoy, but we are so insignificant that if we enter into a wrong subject matter and we think that we are supposed to enjoy this, we will incur an adverse reaction. An adverse reaction. It is not congenial situation because there is an element of ignorance in it. So knowledge is confronted with ignorance or with fantasy or the idea which is not factual, should not be entertained. It interferes in our understanding. But Krishna is factual, is not a creation of a whimsical person. And his arguments are so solid that you can't challenge. It doesn't mean that we cannot know. Yes, you cannot know on your own. You cannot know with the opinion of somebody. You cannot know him unless and until he reveals himself. Nayam atma na pravachane na labhya athava bahuna sute na va. Yena atma tal labhyate. He will be only revealed to whom? Tal labhyate tva. No, Swam. Swam means on his own sweet will when he will reveal himself. That is his independence. And we are all dependent on him. We are not independent. Aren't we dependent? Who said he is independent? Have we ever exhibited our independence? Only a madman can say that I'm independent. Ask yourself within the body, are you independent? Who says I'm independent, I can do anything with my body? We'll find out. Don't eat one day. You'll trouble. You are not independent. You cannot go on hartal with your body. The body will force you. Because the body is made up of so many living entities. They win over one little living entity. We are very little in the composite body of multicellular organism. How many trillions of cells are there in each and every tissue? Oh my God. You think, are you eating or are you feeding them? When you eat something, are you really eating or are you feeding your body that demands food? We are slaves to serve our body. And you think you are independent? No. Bhagavad Gita puts us on the threshold of independence. When we think we are not this body, understand, realize, then your dependency on the body will reduce. So, Krishna is controller, supreme proprietor, and supreme enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam shantim richati. If we realize this, because of our self-examination, then we will accept him and his words are true. But in ignorance, if we do not try to check him and try to realize him, we are not gaining anything. Krishna is full of six opulences: wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, beauty and strength. And we all hanker. And we get only little because we are so little. And yet, we want to become God. If somebody claims, Prabhupada said, because of Parashar Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, gave this definition in Padma Purana. Full of six opulences, perfect and complete, he is God. These are the six opulences: wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, beauty and strength. And Krishna possesses everything. Therefore he can claim. And you can't challenge. You are stuck with him. So better cultivate a friendship rather than animosity and understand him, that what is in his mind. How is he desiring the welfare of all of us? In singularity or socially together? Or universally? Is God personal or impersonal? I should have taken this class in the morning. Is God personal or impersonal? God is realized in three aspects. Brahman, that is the impersonal effulgence called Brahma Jyoti. Paramatma, localized aspect of the God. And Bhagavan, the personal feature of the Absolute Truth, is a person. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. This is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is all about him, to be known through the 12 great devotees. Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kumar Kapila Manu, Prahlada Janaka Bhishma, Bali Vayasiki Vayam. These are 12 Mahajanas. Under their authority we have to learn and realize things. Because they realized, they never claimed that they are God themselves out of all the 12. No way. But the foolish people made them God. They are the greatest Mahajanas under whose tutelage we have to learn how to surrender to the Supreme. Even big munis fail. But the methodology is there if we follow and we study what are their teachings. The teaching of Lord Brahma, teaching of Lord Shiva, teaching of Kumar, Kapil Dev. So many authentic teachings are available, but they tell same thing. They are not, don't differ. Only we differ because we are confused and we don't like it. Like that. Krishna is the source of everything. These are the slokas you will find in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 8th verse. Etad yonini bhutani sarvani tipadharaya aham krishnasya jagasya prabhava pralayastatha. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both its origin and dissolution. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. I am the father of this universe, the mother and the support and the grandsire. Sarva yonishu kaunte murtayanti sambhavanti ja tasham mahat yonir aham bija padap pita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. A seed-giving father has a claim over his son, that you are my part and parcel. A son cannot claim the father, you are my part and parcel. It's foolish. Krishna also says, Matta parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganaiva. O conqueror of wealth, Arjun, there is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. You may not be able to see the thread, but does it mean that it is in the form of beautiful necklace? You see the necklace from outside, but you do not see the thread which is stringing it together. So Krishna is everything. Krishna is the fountainhead of all avatars, even. Ete chamsakalapunsa krishnastu bhagavana swayam indriya arivyakulam lokam vrdayanti yuge yuge. This is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Kanto, 3rd chapter 28, by Sutta Goswami. All the list of incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansion or part of plenary expansion of the Supreme Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. He who is coming in the form of avatar. Therefore, Krishna is avatari, the person who takes avatars. So when he comes as he is, we tend to take him granted that he is one of us. Avajananti mama mudha manushin tanu masakam param bhavam ajanantam mama bhuta maheshwar. When I descend in the human-like form, they think I am one of them. But they forget that the man is made from the image of God. But this image is so envious that it always sees something other way around. Cannot understand. That is called mudha. The foolish. Even though things are so clear, perceptible, yet because they don't want to understand, they think they know better than what Krishna tells. It's due to sheer enviousness. Dipachire vaita shantaram abhyupetya dipaya devivrata hetu samana dharma yastadrageva hicha vishnutaya vibhati govindam adipurusham tamaham vijaya. Understand this particular translation. When the flame of one candle is expanded to another candle and placed in different position, it burns separately and its illumination is so as powerful as the other candle, original candle. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda Krishna, expands himself in different forms as Vishnu, who are equally luminous, powerful and opulent. Let me worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. You have to pinpoint the original personality. That's called Govindam Adipurusham. Adipurusham means the original personality. Brahma is teaching us this. It's given in Brahma Sanhita, 5th chapter, 46th verse. So, whatever Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is also corroborated by other great personalities who are teaching us. So, we have to study in the tutelage of this great teachers. Krishna is the source of all demigods. Aham adir hi devana. Name vidhu suraganaha prabhava na maharshaya. Aham adir hi devana maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Neither the host of demigods, not the great sages know my origin, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. In the very first verse, when Brahma Sutra that defines the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadyasya Yatah Anvayad Itarascasre Abhigyatvarat, Tene Brahma Radaya Adi Kave Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Tejo Vari Mradam Yatha Vinimaya Trishargo Amrusha Dhamna Svena Sastakotam Satyam Param Dhimahi. That independent personality of Godhead is the source of everything, all the demigods. Because the demigods are coming under the situation of creation, sustenance and dissolution. Just like living it. So they are classified as empowered personalities, but jiva category. Only Lord Shiva is having a different category because it's a direct transformation of Sankarsan into Shankar. For the purpose of destruction of this material world, and he is the custodian of Tamogun, by which he is the master of false ego. He has a function to smash the false ego of all us. So for the purpose of a removal of the false ego, we go and chant Hare Krishna at Shivalaya. When you visit Shivalaya, that is the real worship of Shivji. We go and chant. And in Vishnu Sahasranam it is said that if you chant the name of Hari in Shivalaya, Shivji will promote you to Vrindavan. In Mahatmya of Vishnu Sahasranam, just study. We can't simply create a blind belief and get stuck into a so-called tradition. We create and then we forget. Such tradition is very difficult to pass on even in this Kali Yuga to our generations, next generation. Why don't we pass on the truth which has been revealed in the Shastra? The reality that they will not be afraid to face anything in the material world. Yet they will be on the perfect position to uphold the religion. Dharmo rakshati rakshita. It's not the traditions that we are going to live is called dharma. Dharma does not depend upon our belief system. It is a reality. Param satyam. And it is rutam. Rutam means factual. Not a make-believe thing. No wonder everybody came and converged on India, where our Vedic religion was so much proliferating, and they destroyed. Because they did not have anything. And we had. Now we also don't need them. Now how would you survive? What is Indian? What is Hindu? These are all foreign nomenclatures. Ultimate nomenclature is of a devotee. Not even jnani, not even a dhyani. In Kali Yuga, yogi naam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana sraddhavan bhajate maam samme yukta tamo mata. That is Krishna is telling very fearlessly. Every sentence is going to make you fearless if you study. So, please take up this opportunity. Bhakti Vriksha will put you on the right threshold and never be afraid of anything. In Varaha Purana it is said, Narayana parot devastamas tasmad jatas chaturmukhas tasmad rudro abhavat devah sa sarvajnatam gataha. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, and from whom Shiva was born. But the Shiva is coming as a secondary expansion from the original Sadashiva, who is Shankara. And Shankara is said to be transformation of Shankarshan. Vasudeva Shankarshan Pradimna Aniruddha Chaturbhya. And Vaikuntha. And material creation is very insignificant. It is constituted of 1/4 of the total. The 3/4 is ever present. It has not been subjected to creation, sustenance and dissolution. It's an eternal sanatan dharma. But material world has been created for a purpose. So there is a cause. So first Vishnu expansion is called Karanodakshayi. He comes as the cause of creation. Second expansion, which is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and there are multitude of Garbhodakshaya Vishnus because there are multitude of universes. But that is the secondary category of Vishnu. But again, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands into Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, Kshira Samudra. This Vishnu becomes the Paramatma and sits in everyone's heart. This is given in the Shastra, but we are never taught you may know only one Vishnu, even though there are various Vishnu photographs even. We know only the Chaturbhuj standing on the lotus. Or at the same time, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu you see in Ranganathan, South India, most of the worshippers are of Ranganath, means the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, but some ways of Mahavishnu also. And everyone has a different feature and different location. Anyway, understand, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Krishna says, I am the origin of everything. both material and spiritual. Krishna is the supreme knower. Veda aham samatitani vartmanani chyarjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. And we are trying to know him now. He understands that we are so fools that we are ignorant about him, even though he has expanded in us as Paramatma. We do not have time to understand the Paramatma. We simply hang on so-called belief system. I believe in Paramatma is residing everywhere, but that's all about it. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Bahuni me vyatitani jarmani tava charjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha pramukata. That blessed Lord said, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. O subduer of enemy. He said he is the subduer of enemy, but ignorant about the reality. What good such subduer of enemy is? Real enemy is our ignorance. So, Krishna is talking in sarcastic terms today. You can subdue your enemy, but you can't subdue your own ignorance. Come on, give me a break. So, Krishna is presenting here as the Vishwarupa, Virata Rupa, to show at one place, because Arjun asked, I want to see you, how you are pervaded all over, in one, standing in one place. So Krishna showed him the Virat Swarupa. And further then, this is, okay, tell me, which Vishnu is centered in here? What?
Garbhodaksha Vishnu.
Anybody?
Karanodakshaya.
You can't see?
Karanodakshaya.
Mahavishnu. Or Karanodakshaya Vishnu. Alright? And what you see in each and every universe, can you see little bit? Tiny figures. And there are many personalities there. Vishnu is also there, Lakshmi is there, and there is some lotus flower growing, and Brahma is there, tiny. What is the name of that Vishnu? Come on, boys. That is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, number two. Alright? They are pervaded in every universe, and there are multi-universes. So how many Vishnus are there? But they are the super soul of that particular universe. Again, understand this. Krishna's position and which Vishnu is there?
Karanodakshaya
Vishnu. Mahavishnu. And you can see again. Can you see Garbhodakshaya Vishnu?
Yes.
Where?
Inside the bubbles.
And bubbles. What are the bubbles representing?
Universes.
And where is Krishna? Oh, Krishna is somewhere. Goloka dhamni nija dhamni tale cha tasya devi mahesha haritama suteshu. This is the position described in Brahma Sahita. That underneath Golok Vrindavan, there is Vaikunthas, Haridham, there is Maheshadham, there is Devidham. What is this material world called? Which dham?
Devidham.
We are in Devidham. Means jail. Other places are not called jail. Devi Dham is called jail. Durga. Durga means fortress. Fortress is for us. And we think we are going to be happy in this jail. Give up that illusion. We have to dig out our happiness right from within, because that is our constitution. But we have to conduct in such a way that we fulfill the mission of human form of life and go back home, back to Godhead directly, because this accessibility that Krishna is expanding and expanding and expanding in the smallest form called Paramatma. He's sitting within us, sitting within every atom, all pervasive. And through Him, He knows everything. What's going in my mind, also He knows. Whether am I bluffing or not, He knows. So Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate and the supreme ever and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Arjuna has to accept on this, studying his friend closely. Without studying him, he was taken for granted. But when Krishna showed him the Virat Rupa and declared, Arjun clarified, who are you? Why are you present here? I said, it is time. I am the time personified. Kalo aham asmi lokakshaya pravruddho aham. Lokakshaya. I want to terminate this burden on the earth. That's why I'm engaged. And I'm engaging people into wiping them out themselves. Alright, let's understand this Maya Dham. Material nature means Prakriti. Alright? You can see Prakriti. Krishna is overseeing what's going on in Prakriti, even though it is not His nature. But He created His nature in an inferior quality. He doesn't dwell in it, but He oversees. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunte jagadvi parivartate. And the prakriti is having three tools called modes of material nature. And they are like strings in the hand of Maya, and we are like puppets. If she pulls one of the string, we raise our hand. She puts another string. So, our working, we are working under the force of Maya. It's not that we are independently working. It's the nature is made up of three modes of material quality. It's called sattva gun, rajo gun, and tamo gun. So, these three modes are variously combined in different combination and permutation. There is not only 56 grades of gray, 8.4 million species of life is construed by the different ingredients from these three moods. Right? And prakritiya kriyamanani. Everything is done by the modes of material nature. Gunai karmani sarvasa. whatever is being done in the material world, it is working under the nature of three modes. But ahankaram vimudhatma kartaram iti manyate. He doesn't see that he is forced to do. He thinks he is the doer. Who is the doer? Modes of material nature are the real doer. If you do not have rajogun, do you think you will work ever? Rajogun is making you hyperactive. All the boys, look at that. The rajogun is working right now. No attention. If you have sattvagun, you will pay attention. Rajogun, you want to think something else. Maharaj is boring. And tamogun, you will be destructive. You will have to be taken out from here. At least you are in the mode of passion. But now you are paying attention, means you change the mode. And you are becoming wise. So this is more of goodness. So, we think we are the doer. That is the real ignorance. We are forced to do. I told you before that can you go on strike with your own body? The modes of material nature will force you to do, even though you don't want to do. So here is the three modes and their effects. If we stay in mode of sattva-gun, we will be endowed with knowledge. Our life will be free from sin and yet will be not liberated because we'll be conditioned by the sense of happiness. We think we want to remain happy right here. But this place is not permanent. But that sense of happiness is binding us in the material world, not liberating us. Rajogun, on the other behalf, it creates unlimited desires. Those who are not paying attention, they are exhibiting some different desires, isn't it? But it's unlimited desires. Fruitive activity. I want to work, do job and get money. I want the result of my actions. Rajogun also puts us into the company of opposite sex. That is, attraction between men and women is also impelled by rajogun. Tamogun means the ignorance. When somebody goes out of his brain, that is called madness. Becomes lazy. Tamogun, sleep and intoxication. You are not taking that. But these are the symptoms of tamogun. So, Lord Krishna is telling that we have been given bodies. It's like a chariot. It's a carrier. Body, it's a carrier. For whom? For the soul. Right? There are five senses. Which are the five senses, boys? What? Touch. Then?
Feel.
Smell.
Smell. Then?
Taste.
Hear.
Hear is not sense.
Taste.
That is sense of touch.
Taste.
Hear.
Hear.
Then?
Smell.
See.
Then?
See.
So there are five senses. Alright? The five horses are like five senses. Alright? Krishna is controlling the horses. Right? He's the driver. He's controlling the horses by the rope which is called rein. Is it not? Rein is mind. Senses are connected with Krishna, means the intelligence with mind. Mind is the connect. But Krishna holds the rein tight and drives the chariot. Instead of Krishna, if somebody is there, do you think he is going to hold the rein tight? The intelligence is not that much developed. Krishna conscious intelligence is the best intelligence, which will control our senses. Then Arjuna is only a passenger. Then he will be able to do what he can do. So, always take help of Krishna conscious intelligence. Do you know one who chants Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
He has the highest Krishna conscious intelligence. He is not a dumb man. Don't think and that one who is a mala pirai gume. No, he's not a dumb man. He's the most intelligent person in the world. Those who are taking, those who think that themselves are intelligent, they don't need chant Hare Krishna. Actually, they are the dumbest. This is told in Kathopanishad. And Krishna gives personal example. So again, we will refer to the five subject matters. Ishvara means the supreme controller, God. Jiva is the living entity controlled by God. Prakriti, material nature, made up of sattva, rajas and tamagunas. Kala is eternal time and energy of Lord Krishna, and karma, the activities performed by combination of the three modes under the control and purview of the eternal time. Now we want to see these other two factors too. So, let's talk about Kala. What is Kala? Time is God's energy. Kalo aham asmi. Krishna never separates his energy in the form of kala, that is moving effect. In our Shastra, the kala is estimated by the movement between two atoms. Kala is calculated on the basis of minuscule atom and its movement to other atom. That is called kala. And it is divided into nimish and prah and other. About how many categories? 13, 14 categories are there. Very precise. Prahar, muhurta, and that is the estimation of kala. Until a 12 hour called Brahma is called kalpa. And from minuscule to macro scale calculation, it's available and it makes sense. Kala is most powerful force in the material world and it's ultimate amongst the killers. Why? Because the Kala progresses and takes away our vitality of the life as it moves. And therefore, the person who has just born, Kala immediately follows him. And when the happy birthday comes, we ask, how old are you? Not how young are you? Because the Kala is following you. When the Kala is following you, you have to talk, how old are you? Means how much old you have to be. When you go back home, back to Godhead, you will be in your youthful spirit all the time, ever. Never to regret about old age, because there is no old age there. Ever youthful. Krishna never had beard, didn't he? But Muslims who did not know, they drew Krishna, Ram's picture and with mustache. Yes, there are so many miniatures available, you know. They were more familiar with our gods and demigods because they were foreigners and they got influenced. They tried to respect, but they occupy our place of worship and make them Allah's place. Because they recognize this is our place of worship, but they want to rule. Anyway, the time is the cause of all transformation in Prakriti, the cycle of universe, the six transformations that body undergoes, means it is born, it grows, you know, it becomes mature, produces byproduct, dwindles and disappears. Six changes, six transformations. Time, the Lord declares in Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter 32nd verse, the great destroyers of the world, under the influence of eternal time, the cosmic manifestation is created, maintained and annihilated at regular intervals. At regular intervals, not haphazardly. So the prediction is there because it is on the schedule arrival. It happens. Now let's understand karma, the activity. The activity performed by living entity conditioned by the three modes under the control and purview of the time is called karma. The law of karma, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. We are accountable for everything we think, speak and do. Not only what we do, but we speak, think and do. Manasa vacha karma. We exhibit our existence and indulge the three faculties in expression of our being. So therefore, we are accountable all the three ways. Not only one way. Mukh mein Ram, bagal mein churi. You know, he is having the words Ram, but then he wants to do something which is not approved by Ram. Violation. So, that is a hypocritic situation. So, do you think he will go back home, back to Godhead, or punished? Punished, obviously. Because there is no necessity of churi in Golok Vrindavan. Right? Nobody goes with that. The law of karma is that we are accountable, okay? Now, what I gave you the example is similar to what Krishna was driving the chariot of Arjuna in the battlefield. So we have to understand this chariot. Now, can you tell me who is driving the chariot? You are still exposing it. Who is the driver? Do you have that? You said mind. Who is the driver? Mind is not the driver. That's why you are in trouble. You make intelligence the driver. Mind is the rein that connects to your senses. And they are loose because you don't have intelligence. So what will you do? Your horses will run here. One horse will go to Canada, another will go to United States, third one will go to Punjab. And your chariot is finished. The passenger is in chariot, it's you, and probably your family too. There are three types of karma we have to understand. And which one is preferable that we should do, that you should decide now. Understand the definition of karma. Karma as per scriptural direction, that is pious karma. Vikarma means against the scriptural direction, which is sinful. And akarma, for which one does not suffer any reaction. Which kind of karma would you like to do?
Akarma.
Prabhu's, everybody is doing activities. But which one you would like to do? Karma, akarma or vikarma?
Karma.
Remember, Krishna advises Arjuna, karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetur burma te sanga akarmani akarma. You should always perform akarma. Akarma is a type of karma that does not put you in entanglement. That will keep you liberated. It means what? Yajyarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Yajna means sacrifice. Who is the enjoyer of sacrifice? Bhaktaram yajna tapasam. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvaputanam Gyatvam Shanti. Krishna claims that he is the yajna. He is the enjoyer of the sacrifice of the yajna. So yajna vai Vishnu. The name of yajna is synonym to Lord Vishnu. Yajnesh, yajnapati. These are the name of the Supreme Lord. So whenever fire sacrifice is done, in the yajna, the word Om is utilized. Om Swaha. And you may invite devatas to take their share because of the material management. They are also invited. But they are not invited on the same place in the fire pit. They have been given their share. Yajna sistasino santu munchante sarva kilvishaya bhunjate te dvagam papa ye pachatya atma karana. Deva bhavayantu yatayana yo deva dasyante when you perform a fire sacrifice, the devatas are invited and you have to give them their share also as prasadam. Then you partake prasadam. But the bhoga is going to Vishnu. And we do something other way around. These are the instructions of Krishna. You can't challenge and get the same result. If you do different, then surely you'll be in trouble. So, that is the nature. We are told to perform a karma. So, real problem of life. What do you see? The two problems are there here.
Birth
and
death.
Aha! Janma, mrutyu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudasha. The two others are jara and vyadhi, old age and disease. These are the real problems of life. Four problems. And you have to look over and over again in this four. That is called Anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means research for the remedy. And it is not in the place of misery. The remedy is not in the place of misery. Maya does not give us remedy. She gives punishment through the Trishul. Do you know Trishul indicates what? Tapatraya. Three types of misery. Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik and Adhidaivik. The miseries inflicted by ourselves, by ignorance, that is one kind. And second is Adhibhautik means by material arrangement, other parties inflict on us misery. You have done nothing, but when the war breaks out, probably you might have to take up weapons. But the misery is inflicted, right? And the third is divine, with the divine arrangement, which we have no control. If Maya Devi wants to scratch somewhere, there will be a big earthquake there. You know. Can you tell me why did tsunami came in Himalayas in Kedarnath? And who goes to Kedarnath? Religious people. And they swept away in Mother Nature's work. Why Mother Nature has to inflict, Maya Devi and Durga Devi has to inflict miseries on the believers? She didn't do any harm to the temple. Well, that's a great secret. Maya is Narayani. She works under the direction Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunte Jagadvi Parivartate. That is the thing. And she works automatically without Krishna to order her. That is her service, to wipe out. Lord Shiva has to crack the false egos. So, thank you very much. This is the matter to study five subjects. Do you know this is Krishna? Where is he residing?
Oh,
how do you know? Anybody has any question? Please. Yes, no?
What would you say is, when we say devotional service, to what all falls under devotional service?
What falls under devotional service?
Devotion is reposed. And it is the eternal function between the soul and the supreme soul. Right? There is nothing else that can be said to be devotion or any devotional value if it is not connected to Krishna. Bhakta and Bhagavan. Right? Both the words are connected with bhakti. So devotional service or devotion is the process that connects bhakta and Bhagavan. You can't make anybody Bhagavan because you believe. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We do not tell Om Krishna Namah. No? Krishna is Bhagavan Vacha. We can't say Om Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without second. And Eko Bahushyam means He manifested many of His own personal expansion, separated expansion. Right? So, the separated expansions, these are the jivas, and they are supposed to be reconnected with the Supreme. That is the art of devotion. But that process of devotion includes nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the nine processes by which one can keep an eternal connection and functionality with the Lord. Because originally, as constitution, part and parcel of the Supreme, we are subservient to Krishna. And service with love, understanding without enmity is for devotion. A devotee does not keep enviousness anymore. And non-devotees will always keep enviousness. Yes, bro.
Why do people worship other gods when we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But if you look in Kali Yuga, people do lot of yagnas, they worship a lot of different deities.
Yes, yes.
So why still the people
Krishna
are not...
Krishna has answered that. Kamaistashtar-akajnana-prapadyantanya-devata. Because they are simply under the mesmerized aspect of that kama, the lusty desires. The real knowledge will be stolen. Kamaistaistai hatajnana. Prapadyantyanya devata. They want to take shelter of others. You can't go to Krishna with kama. But you may go. Even though they may respect you or not. But under the desire, hatagyana, we will go to others. And we glorify out of proportion even. We may equate everyone with Krishna. Or at the same time, we will say that no, he is greater. Because I believe. Under hallucination or false relationship or temporary relationships, we get engaged with worshipping the devatas. It's not permanent. We keep on changing the devatas too. Or for that reason, we'll worship 9 grahas at a time or all the demigods at a time. One or all. Otherwise none. We are in position of none is better. Because there is one already there. You can't make or equate on everyone on the same platform. You have to see what is the origin. Do they teach that they are the supreme? They will never teach. Because they are very obedient servant. You can't flabbergast or butter up a devata and glorify him out of proportion, you know, for your fulfillment of desires. These are all what we call corrupt. Because Rata Jnana means their intelligence is going to get corrupted. But Krishna says, oh, they want to go. I will fix their faith in them. Otherwise, they do not know how to fix the faith. I will fulfill their desire. But they don't know. That they forgot me. They are supposed to give to me, but now they want to give to me by understanding all through them. So they are differentiating me and them. Right? So Krishna says, that's not good. I will fix their intelligence. So they can keep on worshipping them. So Yanti Devrata Devan. Those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods' place. Pitru Nyanti Pitru Yavrata. Bhutani Bhutejjayan. Or Madhyas, you know, Pila. Rokada Isa. You know.
Everywhere it says, if you look at 10.8 or everywhere 15 points, everywhere Krishna says, I am the supreme personality of Godhead.
Sure.
But why our mind still, we can't accept?
Because kama stays there, rata jnana. Kamana is there, we are in material life. Right? Material life means hankering. We think that we came to fulfill our desires. So desires are, immeasurable. If you try to fulfill one desire, another is popping up. And you spend the entire life in satisfying that temporary desires. Your life, which is eternal, is thus spoiled in wrong engagements. Life after life. But in human form of life, we can get a clear distinction and we take the advantage and we come out from that. If we try to pull out others, we may be able to be successful, but at least we have obligation to come out from the state of ignorance. Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityam amamritam gamaya. So that is the Vedic conclusion. The whole material world has been created in tamas. Right? envy, separate desire, other than Lord Krishna's desire, is creating the tamas. Creating the world of tamas. And therefore, to see this is really temporary and make you understand, Krishna gave us sun, moon and electricity. Right? So we can at least see the reflected light. We can't see the original light. But if we cultivate the eyes of the Shastra Chakshus, right, that will develop into divine knowledge, Jnana Chakshus. Then we'll be able to see the things correctly.
But Arjuna also couldn't see Krishna so powerful, he has to have special eyes, powerful eyes to see, but how human beings?
Krishna says, no, you won't be able to see me with your... I have to give you. Divyam dadami te chakshu. And Arjuna could understand. Dhritarashtra was blind. But Sanjay was not blind. He was bestowed with the transcendental vision. Sitting in... and. The camp where Dhritarashtra was sitting, Sanjay was able to visualize what's going on. He didn't have an antenna. He would have the shikha, you know. And he was able to see all these things. The transcendental knowledge is received in Guru Shishya Parampara. That is the power. And he was able to see.
But Krishna also said Bhagavad Gita was spoken much before when he came to the... First he said to the Son God. So, like before selling to Arjuna, how? It's hard to understand from that. So.
Krishna makes you understand. He makes Arjuna understand. Arjuna understand, but we don't understand. It means we are not paying attention. Right? The point is that bahunite janmani vyatitani charjana. We have passed through many, many lifetimes, individually existing in the past, we are continually to be existing in, you know, present, and we will keep on existing as individuals in future. I know everything, but you don't. Sir, did Krishna ever forget Bhagavad Gita? Then he could impart to Sun God millions of years back. The fact is eternal. Natvaivaham jatunasham natvan nene janadipa nachaiva bhavishyama sarve vayam ataparam. Our supreme position that we are existing forever. Neither there was time that you did not exist, and all these kings also existed before. They existed in past, they are existing in present, and they will keep on existing. Because the soul cannot be destroyed. Only thing is, who wants to come over and over again, and who wants to get out for once and all and come to my kingdom? Na tadbhasayate, na suryo, na shashanko, na pavaka, yat gatvana nivartante tad dhamam paramam. Krishna is giving his address. So it depends upon the desire. When we are in confusion, such desire comes up. Arjuna was put up in the grill and he was so much confused that he has to take shelter of his good friend. But we think we have other shelters, so how can we take Krishna's shelter? Right? Even though they are all fallible and sure to be defeated. Yet, we remain foolish. We never take Krishna's help. So come and get cookies, huh?
So where's the question?
Okay.
We have three karmas, like karma, vikarma, and akarma. And how do we know that whatever we are doing, that's akarma or karma?
Right.
For example, I go to work, like, to earn some monies and those things. That's akarma or karma?
It is karma.
So it's a fruit.
Are you going to be entangled with it or not? You will be entangled, isn't it?
Yes.
The trick is that if you work for Krishna, get money and use in his service, he will maintain you too. But because of enviousness, we don't.
So what's the best strategy to
The best strategy is learn the art of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, yad karoshi, whatever you do. Right? Yad ashnasi, whatever you eat. Yet Jehoshi, whatever you offer as homage. Dadasiyat, whatever you give in charity. Yet Tapasyasi, whatever you do the austerities for. Tat Purushva Madarpanam. You first offer it to me, because I am Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvalokamaishvara. And you will be so. You can distribute. Krishna says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati. When offering is to be done, it should be done with love and devotion. So, your going to work will become devotion. So, bhaktya prayachati, offer with love. So, tad bhakti mupahantam, I will accept your process. But ashnami, also I will eat, I will consume. Prayatmanaha, because your prayatna, your effort is in devotion. So I accept the prayatna, I will leave the fruits for you to consume as prasadam. That is Shishta. You have questioned. Very, very powerful. Did you see little Krishna? Who was the winner? All the time Krishna is the winner. So many powerful demons try to kill him, right? Dhanukasur, one who came in the as demon. What did Krishna and Balaram do? They held by their feet and made them go round and round through. And they fell. Little Krishna is more than Superman. Which one you like, Superman or Spider-Man?
Me.
Huh? What? Spider-Man? They're sharp. But you should like Krishna because he is more powerful than the Spider-Man. Yeah. Yes.
Do you really need to know God, or just chanting his name will, you know, take you away from all this miseries and stuff? Because I've heard like Kali Yuga Keval Naam Adhara.
Right.
Sumira Sumira Muni Utrai Para.
Right.
So do you really need to read about him, or just even by chanting his name?
Yeah, but chanting will make your name. Who are you chanting for? Who is that person? Why Krishna is all attractive? What is attraction? Wouldn't you know about him? Huh? Do you think he is hanging in thin air, so you do not have to see him or know him? But this process will put you right in front, face to face. Then you will have to know Him. Therefore Krishna says that only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am, standing before you, Arjun, in my 200 feature. That is the original feature. Even the devatas cannot see this. But you are able to. You will know me in truth. You will be able to see me in truth. And then you will be able to come into intricately. Because we belong there. We gave up that company and of service to Him. So, but the holy name chanting will make you know. Even you do not have inclination to study, but then, because such knowledge will come from the heart, because He is sitting as Paramatma, and He will bring face to face to see Him. So chanting is powerful. Never replace with anything else. Try to chant, but don't become an artificial Haridas. Don't spend your whole day in chanting. Chant in a very systematic and what we call regulated way. And utilize the best hours of your chanting. Make it a committed chanting. And chant with enthusiasm, with determination, and at the same time, you must remain tolerant. If any obstacles in chanting comes, don't give up. Try to tolerate the obstacles, but never give up chanting. So chanting alone is sufficient to come back to Godhead. That is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was a Muslim and illiterate boy. But he never gave up chanting. That was good enough. And you will know everything by holy name revealing itself in front of you. Atah Krishnasya Namadi Na Parvet Grahyami. However you try to know, if your head doesn't go, forget it, but respectfully withdraw it. But at the same time, never give up chanting. Na bhavit graha. These are blunt senses. What do they know about the transcendental nature of the holy name? But sevanam mukhe hi jihva. Svayam swaratya meva. If you start seva, na nama seva mukhe hi jihva. Right from the tongue, engage your tongue. In chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Svayam Spuratya Meva Adhyaya. It will reveal you, because it is as powerful as Krishna. Krishna cannot be twisted and given bribe to no expeditely. There is no expedite. We have to depend upon the desire of the Lord if He wants to reveal Himself. Just keep patient, but have complete faith and dependency on Him. Good? That is devotion. Good?
So much. As when we become devotees are non-envious, and enviousness is the biggest problem, which we are not able to surrender to Krishna. So when we are trying to become devotees, we still have that enviousness, like traces of enviousness. So sure. What one should do to overcome the enviousness?
Develop loving relationship with the devotees. When you are developing loving relationship, enviousness doesn't have any room. Krishna is pleased through these agencies of devotees and Guru. Guru may not be around for all time, but the devotees will be around all the time. Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistari Kripai Dechekeva. You will never get a conclusion if one gives up the association of the devotees.